Welcome to Mysteries, Myths, and Legends. I'm Taylor.
I'm Savannah.
And welcome to the show. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
Hello, everyone. Happy April.
It's April, and I can't believe... Where did March go?
I know.
She marched along the way. Because I swear, I blinked, and now it's April, and now I'm confused.
I know.
But that just means it's concert season, baby. I got so many concerts lined up starting in April, and I'm so excited.
That's amazing. I only have like one or two this year so far, and they're not close yet. So.
That's really tragic. I did kick off my 2024 concert. I don't know what you would call it, list. I went and saw Fall Out Boy, as promised. Guys, there were so many surprises. I know, like, I made bets on here saying that, oh, there would be, like, a dog. There was a big inflatable dog head. But there was also a big alien. There was, like, a bunny. There was this kraken-looking squid octopus, huge, giant blow-up creature. There were fireworks or fire during every single song.
And was this inside?
It was inside. And I was in the very front row.
That's gotta be dangerous. Basically.
Honey, it had to be. Inside. The pyrotechnics were crazy. This man, Pete Wentz, had a guitar that blows fire out of the guitar as he plays it. How they have not caught on fire is the real question.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it was an amazing show. Really, truly. Like, we need to go see Fall Out Boy. Because we were determining, you were like, I don't know any of their songs. And we determined, Savannah knows most of their songs.
Well, I didn't say I didn't know any of them. I just thought I only knew, like, four.
Yeah, they have a lot of hits.
Yeah, I know more than that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they were great. 10 out of 10, would go see them again. Would and have and probably will. So.
Yeah, That's exciting. I need to.
Next on my lineup, personally, is Hozier.
I'm very excited. Oh my gosh. That is going to be awesome.
Yes, I am very excited to see the little Irish little man he is. And by little, I mean ginormous. I think he's like 6'7" or something like that. But what you been up to, Savannah?
Just been, you know, hanging out. I did go to the Edgar Allan Poe speakeasy. I think I talked about that last time.
Ooh, how was it?
It was really fun. It was really cool. It was like they had chairs set up as like, it was a show, you know? So like, you were sitting in rows, or there was on the sides, so there was like couches, so we actually sat on one of the couches on the side.
Nice.
So, had to have that vibe, sitting on the couch.
I love that.
And then there was, like, a stage in the front, and they would, like, they had people, performing the, like, the stories. So, Edgar Allan Poe's stories.
That's exciting.
And, yeah, it was really cool. And with each performance, so there was four different stories that were performed, and each one had its own drink.
So,
it was really cool.
Okay, which story of the night was your favorite, but also which Edgar Allan Poe story is your favorite in general?
I don't even know. Like, they were all really good. I'm trying to even remember which ones were performed. I should have written it down. I really liked, the one, you probably know which one it is, the one where the woman, like,
taxidermy?
Killed, huh?
The Telltale Heart.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that's my favorite one of all time.
Yeah, that one was really cool.
Yeah, that's my favorite Edgar Allan Poe story. Did you, when you were in, like, middle and high school, did you have, like, a deep focus on Edgar Allan Poe at any point?
No.
I remember I think it was, like, 8th grade, we had, like, a whole class, basically, of Edgar Allan Poe, where we just read, like, every story.
Oh.
And so I've read so many of his stories, which is what has inspired a lot of things, including naming one of my cats Poe. And I was also Edgar Allan Poe for Halloween one time.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, no. A Telltale Heart is definitely my fave
story. Yeah. No, yeah, it was really cool.
What drink went with that one?
Oh my gosh. I did not prepare well for this.
I asked at the wrong time. What color was it, at least? Do you know?
I am...
I love that. They
had one, I believe it was this, my favorite drink was this one that was like, it, I don't remember if it was, I think it might have been vodka, and it was like, had this charcoal in it.
What? That sounds horrible.
Interesting. No, but it was good. It was like black, made the drink black.
Oh.
And... That's cool. It had, like, a dried lime in it.
Oh.
Or lemon. And it was so good.
Wow.
That's also really pretty.
That's really cool. I didn't realize that you could put charcoal in something and it didn't alter the taste.
Oh, I have the... actually have it right here. It was called the Nevermore.
I knew it was going to be from the Raven. When you said it was black, I knew.
Yeah, that one was my favorite drink. It was called Nevermore, and it had fresh lime juice, peach and orange blossom infused vodka, simple syrup, and crushed charcoal.
Wow, that is so insane. I would never have thought to put that together.
It was, yeah, it was good.
I love that.
And then the one, I don't remember which one goes with which, honestly. Yeah,
I get that. I do get that.
But they were all very good. So if you have this in your... Because this, I think, is touring around different cities, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, the Edgar Allan Poe Speakeasy. So if you see it come to your city, you should go. Because it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. I am sad I missed out, honestly. I didn't know it was coming before it was too late, so...
Yeah. Yeah, we got gifted the tickets. Yeah,
so. True. Truly. Well... if you don't mind, go rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please. But I don't really have any more intro topics unless you do, Savannah.
Okay, let's just get right on into it. So, I am going to talk about atmospheric jellyfish.
Atmospheric jellyfish?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
So, this one... There's a lot that goes into this, and I definitely did not cover it at all, but we're just gonna do an introduction to atmospheric jellyfish this week.
This is intro to jellyfish 101. Yeah.
Yep. So, this is an unexplained phenomena that's cited by hundreds of people around the world, and according to Wikipedia, which people have differing opinions, so I'll tell you the other... explanation in a minute, but according to Wikipedia, it is a rocket launch related phenomenon that is caused by sunlight reflecting off of rocket plume gases that are emitted by like launching a rocket during the morning or evening, right?
Okay, I can see that.
Sounds reasonable. And so apparently they say that like the observer is in darkness while the exhaust plumes are at a high altitude and are in direct sunlight, so it looks like a jellyfish.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. And according to NASA, it could be the result of space debris reflecting off of the northern lights.
Hmm.
Which is a very different...
That's not the same.
...thing. Yeah, different. And then even more different... Many people think that these are UFO/UAPs.
Now that I can get behind.
Yeah. So, there's just so much. So, one of the few, this is like one of the few UFO phenomena that people say are like, is like more recognized and researched by the scientific community. So that's interesting. The first sighting, or like one of the first sightings, was actually in November of 1974, so a long time ago.
And this phenomenon was the inspiration for the movie Nope.
No way.
You've seen that, right? I haven't seen it, so.
Jordan Peele is my favorite horror writer, so yes, I have.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if it was, by the way you were talking, I was like, this story sounds familiar.
Yeah. So I haven't seen it, but now that I'm like hearing about this and like what that movie could be about, I'm like, I need to go see that.
Savannah, I'm actually being so serious. You have to watch that movie.
I know.
It gives a very, very, it's not scary, first of all.
Yeah. I don't know why I haven't, because I, like, when it first came out, I wanted to see it. I don't know why I didn't.
No, I'm like, who did I even see it with? But it just gives, like, a whole new idea of what an alien could be, which I love.
Okay.
So.
Well, so this is the inspiration for that movie. And it also is inspiration for the SCP-312.
That sounds like a character from Star Wars.
I mean, kind of does. I don't really know exactly. Okay. I'm going to try to explain this to best of my ability. SCP-312, from what I saw on a few websites, it is sort of a cryptid type thing, right? Oh,
okay.
And SCP stands for Secure, Contain, Protect.
Oh.
And I think each number has a different creature identified with it. So this is 312.
Okay, so Lilo and Stitch vibes.
Yeah. So, yeah. SCP-312, aka the atmospheric jellyfish.
Mm-hmm.
There AKA are some...
The experiment on 626. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. There are some explanations, descriptions, I mean, that I'm going to go through that this... When I was looking up SCP-312, this is what came up. So, they supposedly resemble a jellyfish, but are much larger. They're 2.5 meters in diameter and 25 meters long. So, big.
That's huge.
Yeah. Yep. They also have several human-like eyes at their core, but are difficult to see because, you know, they're in the middle of the jellyfish, but jellyfish are see-through, so you know what I mean?
Indeed.
And they have an interior of warm atmospheric gas, which allows them to float, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
They can also produce small clouds to hide from prey, which they prey on large mammals and humans, of course.
I'm really freaked out because up until my knowledge, until this very second, I thought Nope was just a concept movie. But the way that this is based on something that's possibly real is scary.
Yeah, I'm going with it's more of like a cryptid situation, which is like...
Regardless, it's scary.
I'm not 100% that they're real, but this is just like, you know...
I'm just saying the government and NASA can't get their heads straight on what it is, so...
Well, that's true.
Suspicious.
But this part of it is not what the government says. This is just what internet lore says.
Yeah.
For sure. So, they hide from prey and they can survive indefinitely without eating, which is like, okay, well then why do you have to prey on people? But anyway. To escape them, you need to go at speeds of more than 30 kilometers an hour run into a large crowd to confuse them. So these creatures are normally docile, but if you see their core with all their eyes, they're going to capture you and pull you up into a vortex and paralyze you.
Oh my god, this is so scary.
With venom. And digest you.
Yeah, see, I told you this is scary. That's horrifying.
It is kind of scary. And after a week, you, this is bad.
After a week?
After a week, your remains are expelled onto the earth.
Mm. Yum. Like at a random place on the earth? Like,
I guess.
Just wherever this thing happens to be?
Yeah.
Imagine it's at like a horrible, lame, boring place. I don't know what place that could be. But like,
I know.
Just in a cornfield somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Trash. Well,
just what happens.
I guess it is.
So let's get into some of the sightings that have been that have happened. You know, people have seen this.
Yeah, let's do it.
So the first one I have here is the Dutch flying jellyfish.
The flying Dutchman?
Exactly, the flying Dutchman. So now I'm just picturing the Flying Dutchman.
Me too.
Okay, anyway. It was sighted in the Netherlands by Harry Purton. So Harry, he ventured out after a storm to take photos for his blog. And he took some photos, and suddenly he saw a flash and thought it was his camera going off or lightning. But then he got home and saw a UFO jellyfish in the pictures.
Wow. Can you imagine that? Because I surely can't. So he didn't see it in real life. He just saw it in the pictures. Well, I mean, I guess the flash was it, but he didn't realize.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. That's crazy.
And then he also, he thinks that it was something meteorological. He thinks like a ray of sunlight may have come through the storm cloud to create the effect of a jellyfish. But, you know, since he posted about it, people have been like, no, this is an atmospheric jellyfish. This is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
gotcha.
He's not a believer, but other people have believed
that's what
it is. Yeah. So, that's that one. Another sighting was the Norwegian atmospheric jellyfish. And this was sighted in January of 2010. And it was sighted in Norway by Per Arne Milkesson. It was a strange jellyfish-shaped object spotted hanging over Norway. And it could have been caused by light from the aurora being bounced off of a space satellite. So this is sort of what NASA was saying before when I was saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the most common theory on this one, that like NASA, you know, had it right, and that it's just the aurora being.
Yeah. I guess the only reason why that's so hard for me to believe is because I've never seen the aurora borealis, so I'm like, I can't even imagine how that light can be reflected as a jellyfish. Also, I don't really think it looks like a jellyfish.
Let me send you these pictures real quick.
But yeah, like, I've also never experienced it before. So maybe we should listen to NASA. They probably know more than me. And by probably, okay, I mean definitely.
I just sent you pictures of both of these so you can see what they sort of look like.
Okay. Okay. Okay, now, if you would have mentioned to me that it was green, that would have made me be like, okay.
Yes. Yeah,
okay, it's but also I green. Can't lie. Like, the second picture, is it the same picture just zoomed out?
No, they're two different. The first one is the one that I was talking about before.
Okay. Well, they look exactly alike, and they're not in the same place, so that's of note.
True.
Where was the first one again?
In the Netherlands.
The Netherlands, okay.
Netherlands, okay. And then Norway.
Okay, well, maybe. I'll give it a maybe. Even though, obviously, I want to believe it's aliens and stuff, but I'll say maybe. But I will say, like, that second picture, it's pretty much like the aurora borealis looks like what I picture the aurora borealis to look like. And then there's also just this little jellyfish-looking thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so that's why they were like, oh, it's probably just reflecting.
I guess. Like, I guess. But it is very weird. That's all I'll say, I guess, is that it looks really weird. It looks weird. Out of place with the rest of the surroundings in the back. That's my hot take.
Yeah. Okay, I do have one last thing to go over here. So, these jellyfish were also seen over a U.S. military base.
Okay. That's not good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, a UAP video of a jellyfish-like thing, was seen flying over a military base in Iraq, and it was shot in 2018.
Oh.
And it was released, actually, this year.
Oh. Okay, yeah. And so Iraq, please tell me if I'm wrong. I'm very bad at geography. Iraq doesn't experience the Aurora Borealis, right?
Well, actually, if you see this video, it is definitely not an aurora.
Okay.
Because it's something that's actively flying over.
Oh, okay. So this is like something completely different from those pictures.
Yeah.
Got it. I was about to say, because that Aurora Borealis is getting thrown out the window, if that's the case.
Yeah.
Got you.
So this was released by investigative journalist Jeremy Corbell. And it's like he's a prominent figure in the UFO community, known for his investigations into UAPs and UFOs. And according to him, the object was officially designated a UAP by the Pentagon. And the footage was taken with a thermographic forward-looking infrared radar.
That is the longest title.
Yeah.
But, interesting.
Yeah, so the Pentagon was asked about the authenticity of this, and they made a statement saying they do not want to comment on something that may have been leaked. Okay. So no real answer there.
Okay, that's interesting. So was it a U.S. military base in Iraq?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I see. That's interesting. Okay, if they are saying, maybe it's a leak, it's giving maybe it's a leak. You know.
Yeah, but even if it's leaked, that doesn't mean it's not true.
No, exactly. No, I'm saying that means it's probably more true if they're saying it was a leak.
Well,
But my only thing is, like, what if this actually was like some new flying technology that they're trying and not an alien or something crazy like that, you know? If they're on a military base, that's all I gotta say. Like, and it doesn't look exactly like the other ones. Like, maybe they were trying to recreate something or create something their own. And they just don't want, like, the details out there.
I mean,
not that maybe. I'm siding with the government this time. God, come on. We know who maybe, I am.
But a Marine officer did say that he saw the video and does not think it was a smudge or anything.
Mm.
And he also said that he nicknamed it the Spaghetti Monster.
The Spaghetti Monster.
And it became the ghost story on base.
Wow.
And
okay, I love that.
Yeah, so the fact that they have not decided to debunk it is like...
That's weird.
They either already know that it's authentic and don't want to say that, or maybe they're trying to confirm its authenticity to see if it's even real, which makes sense, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it sounds to me more along the lines of they already know what it is and they just don't want to say.
Yeah.
Mm.
Maybe.
That's the D right there.
Yeah. I know. And I do want to see if I can find the video for you of it flying over, because that was very interesting. I do have one here. Let me see.
Yeah, I need to see that. The Spaghetti Monster.
Yes. And to me, it doesn't even look like that. It just looks like... It just looks weird. Here, let me send you this.
I'm like, should I just type in Spaghetti Monster?
I don't think it's going to come up.
It's giving... That is reminding me of the spaghetti tacos from iCarly.
Yeah. Honestly. No, it's like... I don't know. don't know. But I guess there's been multiple instances of jellyfish-like objects in the sky, and people just think that that's weird, and it could be aliens, could be
Dude,
something else.
this definitely looks like a monster bowl of spaghetti.
Doesn't it kind of?
Yeah, it kind of looks like that ship from Dune. We also did just go see Dune too. I
Yeah, we
forgot
did.
about that fact. It kind of looks like one of their ships, low key. It definitely does not look like, in at least in this video, it doesn't look to me to be a creature. It's flying very straight. It's like flying very straight.
I know. That's what I thought too. And I was like, yeah, it doesn't seem like a creature or even. It just looks
It
like.
just looks like a robot. It looks like a bu it looks like somebody tried to throw every metallic object they had together on this flying object, and it's just like being pulled on a string. That's what
Right.
it looks like.
You're right. I
But
think
I don't
another theory is that it's just an alien ship, you know?
that, I mean, it could be.
But.
Also, it does kind of go invisible at certain parts of the video, which is
Yeah,
interesting.
actually, I did forget to say this. Part of the like video, they say that it goes underwater.
Yeah, it does kind of look like that. That's
Yeah.
weird.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not flying as straight as it looks
Yeah,
then.
it's really hard to tell from that video. It's like a
It's
weird
like black and
black
white,
and
first of
white.
all.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like
'Cause it's
very,
infrared or something,
yeah.
so.
That is really weird, but it definitely does look like a monster ball spaghetti. So I see where that is coming from. And it does look like a jellyfish, though. But it doesn't look like the same jellyfish as the other two jellyfish,
Yeah,
if we're following
exactly.
what I'm saying. So maybe we just have two really weird atmospheric jellyfish going around, you know? This one
Yeah.
definitely looks more robotic. This one is giving it's made by the government. But the other
By
two,
a government.
yeah, a government. Not our government, never. Never talking bad about our government. That would never be me.
Mean, could, but I'm just saying any of
True,
them.
that is true. It could be any. That, I'm very perplexed on that one. I don't even know what to believe.
I know.
I
Yeah.
really don't know if I believe the whole Aurora Borealis effect, just like shining a jellyfish through the sky. I don't know why I don't believe it. It just doesn't, it's weird. Like, I feel like if that was
Yeah.
the case, I could be wrong. But like, wouldn't we see like jellyfish clouds too then? Or like other forms of jellyfish, like in like quote unquote jellyfish looking things, like in the sky, if it's just like light being refracted.
I mean, maybe, what if you can only see it on at certain parts of the world?
You're right, you're right. And I have never seen the Aurora Borealis, so I guess I really just don't know. That's a very uneducated way of thinking, I suppose, but I don't know. It just seems weird. It seems weird. Now I want to know if these jellyfish are real.
I know. Yeah, me too. Yeah,
But
but I'm pretty sure the like creature part of it is not. But you know, that's still fun to
well,
learn about.
yeah. Well, listen,
You're
I don't
about
know.
it though. You're like, I want it to be
No, I don't
real.
want it to be. I actually really don't want it to be. But truly, honestly, the movie Nope changed my thinking.
Need to
So
watch
you
that.
have to watch it, dude. I like you need if there's any movies anybody needs to watch, it's Jordan Peele's horror movies. It's the they're the best. That's simply point blank.
I
Yay.
saw one of them. I don't remember.
I think that you saw Get Out.
Yeah, I saw that one.
And but you didn't see Us,
No.
where they're in red jumpsuits,
No.
and you didn't see Nope.
Nope.
That's so tragic.
Yeah.
Tragic. There's also another one of his, and I can't remember what it's called, but that one, ooh, it's crazy. And not that I'm sponsored by Jordan Peele, but he does have a new movie coming out called Monkey Man, and I really want to go see it and
Monkey
will.
Man.
Monkey Man. I don't really know what it's about.
Oh.
So,
Okay.
but, you know, who knows? All of his stories always hit. So, yeah, definitely go watch Nope. It'll definitely go along right with this story. That's what I gotta tell you.
Yeah,
And that
I
just
will.
scared me because I did say that it's not really scary, but it is a scary. It's more like overall, like it could be real. That's why it's scary. Not
Oh,
like,
okay.
jump scare, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of jump scares, boy, do I have the legend for you today, Savannah.
Oh no, okay.
So I have for us the legend of El Cuco.
El
El
Cuco,
Cuco, you
okay.
know, he sounds so innocent and so cute. He's not as innocent as he seems. So I'm going to call this creature in the story El Cuco. But I need you to know that this creature has so many names, so many that I'm not even gonna list them all, because this creature is one that's found all across the world, which is very rare. It's kind of like a Bigfoot type deal. Like there's
Okay.
always like there's versions of Bigfoot everywhere in the world, you know. We've covered them.
Yeah, and
There's
I
Bigfoot, Yeti.
that's interesting because I don't think I've heard of this.
So America is like one of the places where it's not really as prominent
Okay.
as everywhere
Okay.
else in the world. So that's probably why. But some other names other than El Cuco, there's El Cuco, there's El Cucuy, Cuco, Cuckoo, kind of like it's all the same, you know. Anything with a
Yeah.
CU situation going on.
Yeah.
And the name across multiple translations and languages, it all kind of goes back to either head or skull. And sometimes it's translated to coconut as well, which might seem like it doesn't connect, but the shell of a coconut does kind of resemble a skull if you've seen like the outer shell of a coconut. So yeah, anyway, like I said, El Cuco is truly seen throughout all parts of the world, which we don't see that often with a legend. Normally legends are just like around one little place. So, keep that in mind, I suppose, for the future. El Cuco is said to be a version of the boogeyman. Dun, dun, dun. We don't like the boogeyman.
Dun, dun, dun.
No, no,
No.
no. No, 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 no. And so, because he's considered, and I'm just calling it a he because this is the energy it's giving, a monster. There's many versions of what he is said to look like. And there's a reason to that. I'll get to the reason. So some people, you know, they say he looks more like a dragon. Others say he's like this dark giant with fiery eyes. Sometimes it's just a hooded man. You know, all kinds of different versions of what it looked like. Across every single website I was on, it said it looked like something different. So I was like, okay. Got it. We don't know what El Cuco actually looks like. And that is because El Cuco targets only children. So that's, first of all,
Oh,
great start.
wow, love that.
Yeah, so it targets children, and basically this boogeyman rests in the imagination of the children who fear him. So kind of the reason why it said that there are so many forms of El Cuco is because it can shape shift to make it appear more trustworthy. So basically, it's a spirit that infiltrates a child's mind and uses like what they think is trustworthy, and that's kind of how it shows up in their life. And, or
That's
or
bad.
like what they're scared of. So like
Okay.
if somebody like a kid must have been scared of a dragon, the one that said it looked like a dragon, or the one that said it looked like a hooded man, they must be scared of like hooded men, you know? Because when El Cuco wants to be scary, it can be scary. When it wants to be nice, it can be nice. So that's horrifying, you know? But
Yeah.
so because it kind of lives in the child's head, by infiltrating their minds, it gets to know what this kid is most afraid of, and it uses it against them. So this is really bad. And so in some countries that experience El Cuco, it's one of those things where the parents are kind of using it as a scare tactic to get their kids to behave. And in this specific case, it's to get kids to go to sleep. Now, there is a Spanish lullaby, and I found a bunch of different versions of it online. So I didn't know which one was, like, really, truly the real one. And I'm not going to try to sing it to you, so I'm just going to read you the lyrics of the lullaby. Okay.
Yeah.
Or actually, I could try to sing it for you. I'll go ahead. I'll put my own spin. Okay.
I'm ready.
Go to sleep, child. Go to sleep now. The cuckoo is coming.
And oh, my God.
It will eat you. The end.
No!
That's it.
Oh, my God.
Very straightforward.
Yeah. What the heck?
And I'm just like, how is this helping kids sleep? Because if that was told to me before all of my lights are being shut off and I'm being left in a dark room for like a good 8 hours,
right.
That's like, not going to help me sleep.
I would not fall asleep.
No. No. So that's kind of like how it is in some countries. They like use it as a scare tactic weapon. But in other countries, it's people kind of just seem to experience El Cuco being evil and lurking on children. And I haven't gotten really to the best part. Is that El Cuco feeds on the children's fear and energy. So, in a sense, El Cuco basically eats children.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So, okay. That's disgusting. So, you might be asking, what happens to the kid once an El Cuco gets into their head, right? Because, you know, I want to know. It's said that El Cuco will demand the child to hunt down a bunch of different items and inflict a number of gruesome punishments upon them and other people. So basically, El Cuco lures these children in until they feel like they can trust them, and then they make these kids do horrible things until El Cuco takes the child away, never to be seen again.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Never again. Gone.
Oh my God.
Where'd they go? Don't know.
Why is this told to children?
I don't, right. Okay, and so like some countries, they're like, we're going to use it as a scary story. But some countries actually just believe this, that this is true and this happens. So like, I think they're telling the kids as like a warning, like be like, I don't know, like keep your brain secure. I don't know. Like, watch out.
Right, like, what can they do to prevent this that's going to make them, like, are they like, oh, if you go to sleep fast, they won't get you? Or it's like, oh, if you, you know, or if you're good, it won't get you?
No.
Or something?
There's nothing of the such. Nothing I found.
Oh.
No way to outrun it. Or in any of my research. And I'm like, okay, that's good. I think this is the first one we've ever had where there's just, like, no way to escape.
Wow. That's just, like, crazy to me.
Yeah, horrifying. It's very horrifying. And also, within all the countries that El Cuco is located, there are both men and women El Cucos. So, sorry I said just him before, but yeah. So, moving along. Me and Savannah did recently go see this movie called Imaginary, if you've heard of it. So, spoilers ahead if you, not really spoilers, but like a little spoiler. Actually, a lot. So, if you don't want to hear, just skip a good minute or so. We went in blind, and you can help me out here, Savannah. So we had no idea really what this movie is about other than imaginary friends, you know? Mm-hmm. But in the movie, they tie having an imaginary friend to this legend of El Cuco.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically they're like, it's the same thing, and that we call these spirits imaginary friends, like people who don't know about El Cuco. For example, us in the United States, possibly. Like we call them imaginary friends, but actually it's the spirit that's living inside of you, like feeding on you, on your energy.
Oh my gosh. I didn't even connect it until you just said that.
Really?
No, yes. It really, no, that is exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
From the movie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it, even in some articles I read, they reference how El Cucuy or El, you know, Cuco, whatever you want to go with, is similar to an imaginary friend in your dreams. So like, I mean, they kind of hit the nail on the head with that one. I didn't even know about this, like, legend whatsoever.
See, but, like, in the movie, though, it's not exactly the same because it's, like, yeah. At first they were, like, the child was, like, wanted to be around this creature all the mm-hmm. time.
Yeah.
And it was the adults.
Yeah, they definitely took their liberties with the story.
Yeah.
Because the story is pretty much just bad, actually, like, in real life. Like, and the thing is, we don't even know, like, is it true? Like, how do we know that these kids just didn't run away or vanish? You know what I'm saying? Or, like, somebody took them. Like, the missing kids who are like, oh, El Cuco got them. Like, did he? I don't know.
Right.
Does he exist? Yeah. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. So, you know, crazy. And so, I know we've talked about imaginary friends in the past on here, but for those who haven't heard of it, Savannah, did you have an imaginary friend growing up?
I did. I had one that my parents tell me I had, and I don't remember it.
That's scary to me that you don't remember it.
It is kind of scary because they said that it was like person with like a man name, like mm-hmm. like a simple man name, like I don't even remember what it was,
like Paul
or Joe or something like that. And they, or maybe like Bill, or I don't know, but they were like, they always thought it was weird. And then, like, when I got older, I forgot about it. And I don't remember having it. But they just tell me that that happened. And they're like, yeah, we thought you were seeing a ghost or something. Yeah.
Well, that's horrifying.
So they definitely thought that something like this was
happening. Yeah. Oh, that's scary. That's creepy. Yeah. That I don't really like how you don't remember it. Because I do remember my imaginary friend. So... what's important to know here, guys? As I said, me and Savannah went into this movie not really knowing much about it. But the movie had a main character named Taylor, okay? And secondly, the movie involved talking to an imaginary friend by painting on the walls of a bedroom. So my imaginary friend, his name was Alex, and my name is Taylor. And we would communicate by writing on my walls together.
Oh, mm-hmm. So you would just write on the walls. So my parents are
like, I would just write on the walls, yeah. And I would be like, oh, Alex did it. But I'm like,
wow.
What if he's real? What if I really was? Like, what if, because spoilers, again, for the movie, spoilers. This is big spoilers. Like, that happens in the movie. Like, the girl, I mean, it's not like the girl named Taylor and she's writing on her walls, but it's like a lot of similarities to my story. So I'm like, that's, hate that, first of all. But what if I really was talking to somebody named Alex, you know, through the wall? It's scary. I think about it. Mm-hmm. But anyways, moving along, I'm almost done here, but I have a very, very, very fun fact for you, Savannah. This legend was actually referenced on Wizards of Waverly Place. And...
oh, was it really?
Yeah, it was. And I did not have time to go back and rewatch the episode. I really want to. And probably will. But I do actually remember the episode. And it is where the Kukui family comes into town. And they are shapeshifters. And they love to scare kids. And this family is based on this legend. So that's very fun, you know. Just in general. Fun fact. And now that I'm thinking about it, I bet there's a lot of legends that we've covered that's in Wizards of Waverly Place that we just haven't even connected. Because it's been a minute since I've watched that show. But yeah. I know that it is about, like, mysteries and myths and legends and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I know there's werewolves. I know. I mean, they're magicians, as, you know, in general. So, fun. Very fun. So, you know. Anyway, moving back to the imaginary friends part. Imaginary friends scare me, as you could probably have guessed. And I have a little niece who is 3 years old, and she's starting to have imaginary friends, and it's a little scary.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I forgot to consider that factor.
Yeah. So she's what an imaginative child she is, And she has actually said some things to both me and my mom about her imaginary friend. So we have this small shed slash building type thing in my backyard for like the lawnmower and stuff. And we have a path up from my back deck to the building. And so normally that's just where my niece, like, she gravitates to that little pathway. And so her and my mom were playing outside, walking up the path one day when my niece told my mom to stop. She was like, stop. Because they were walking up towards the building. And she was like, I need to go talk to my friend in the building. But you can't go. And so my mom just stood there and she walked up to the building, started talking, and then came back down and acted like nothing was any different. And my mom was like, who are you talking to? And she didn't want to talk about it. And I was like, okay, that's good. Now, my niece does love scary things. She's just like me. I can't lie. So hopefully she's just joking around and being an actress. But, yeah. So my mom was like, that scared me really bad. And she never still has said who she was talking to. Like, hopefully it's just like the little kid in her, you know, trying to scare us or whatever. But it freaked me out. And yeah, every time we're in the basement, she also tells me, she's like, she'll like start talking to people. And I'm like, Everly, who are you talking to? And she's like, my friend. Go away, they don't want to talk to you. And I'm like, okay.
Oh my God.
Okay. Yeah.
Yikes.
Big yikes. So, imaginary friends, how fun. So fun. But yeah, all of that, imaginary friends, and the legend of El Cuco is what I got for you this week.
That, oh my gosh.
Scary. Luckily, you know, El Cuco doesn't come for adults, so we are
safe. I mean, yeah, thank we're chilling. But you gotta watch out for her.
I know, gotta watch out for Everly. Yeah, she's in the danger zone right now, you know?
She is.
Can't let her get caught.
She even got the imaginary friend.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I really hope, I really genuinely hope she's kidding. I really do. Oh,
I she do. Is. She's probably kidding.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see.
Okay, well.
Yeah, well, definitely go check out our Instagram. You're going to want to see some of these jellyfish-looking things. And I don't even know what... I mean, imaginary friends are imaginary. But we can... I'm sure there's some renditions of El Cuco out there.
Yeah, we can find something.
Yeah, definitely. So go check out our Instagram for that. And please go rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, if you will. But...
Yes, please.
I... suppose that's all I have for you guys this week. What about you, Savannah?
I think that's it.
Okay, well then I guess we will see you guys next week.
All right, cue the music.